This is 1580 The Bet. This is 1580 The Bet. WJFK AM Morningside. And WJFK HD3 Manassas. Always live on the free Odyssey app. DC's home for wagertainment. Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos. Presented by BetMGM. On Westwood One Sports.
Final hour. Power hour. You better you bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos, our tremendous crew, and you. The power hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Friend of the show, former NFL and college football head coach, Big Ten Network analyst, the great Dave Wanstead will join us later this hour to talk all things Big Ten. Media Day is going on right now in Chicago. Look forward to Dave Wanstead joining the show. Thanks to Dave LaGreca for joining us last hour to help preview SummerSlam coming up this weekend. Still have a number of topics to hit. Very busy time on the sports calendar. Baseball trade deadline coming up on Monday. NFL training camps in full swing. It is absolutely awesome. I did want to hit one non-football, non-baseball story here. And we told you about another one in the first hour. It looks like ESPN is closing in on a deal with LeBron James to produce a Last Dance-style documentary. The implication being there that this could be LeBron's final season. He signed a 2-year deal in Philly. I have no idea. I'll tell you what, can't wait to watch it, if that's the case. Would be awesome, especially if Jaylen Brown's a character, Embiid's hysterical. That would be a lot of fun. I hope it happens. And even if you are a huge LeBron James hater, and I know a lot of people don't like him, for whatever the reason, you're welcome to your opinions. I don't feel that way, but you're welcome to. Even if you hate LeBron, I hope that you would be excited about it. Like, no one hates Michael Jordan. I don't hate him personally, although I did when I was a kid. No one dislikes Michael Jordan more than me. As a Knicks fan growing up in the late 80s and 90s, right? Where Michael Jordan ruined my months of my childhood by beating my favorite team. I still couldn't wait to watch The Last Dance. Now, that's partially because there was nothing else to watch because the world shut down. But I was still pretty excited to watch it. And if you ask me questions about my feelings on that time period, I will invoke my constitutional right, the Fifth Amendment, and I will not be answering your questions. So I'm pumped for a LeBron James-style Last Dance documentary, if and when we get there. The other piece of NBA news that we need to discuss today, and this is continues to be the theater of the absurd. It is just, I don't even know what to say about it anymore, and I get paid to talk about sports. And I'm finished with this. I'm finished with it. Per Baxter Holmes of ESPN, the NBA's, I almost like having to say this out loud. This is one of those situations where like you don't want to say something in life. Forget about sports. Forget about radio. In real life, you don't want to say something out loud because when you say it out loud, like it makes it real. Now it's real when you say it, even if you know it's real. Per Baxter Holmes of ESPN, the NBA's investigation into Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers and aspiration could extend into 2027. To answer your question, yes, this NBA season starts in 2026. And yes, the Kawhi Leonard trade from the Clippers to the Raptors, a seismic deal for both franchises that absolutely influenced the way both franchises went about their summer, including what the Clippers did in the NBA draft, taking Keaton Wagler with the 5th overall pick. I have no idea what's happening with this trade. I tried to read as much as I could. My guess is it's going to go through. But I don't know that for a fact. I don't know what's going to happen here. Is it possible Kawhi's going to get sent back to the Clippers? Maybe. And then the Clippers get hurt and the Raptors get hurt. 2027 for something we've known about already for a year. And there are people that will speculate as to why this is the case, right? It's because, you know, I think Dan Le Batard said, Steve Ballmer's got all this money. Owners don't want to mess with him. The league doesn't want to mess with him. I have no idea. And candidly, like, I don't care. And I am not trying to downplay Pablo Torre won a Pulitzer Prize. Pablo Torre finds out. I'm sure it's a great show. It's not my bag. I'm not saying that other people can't like it or that there's not value in the work. I just don't care. Like, I don't care. I'm the type of sports fan. It doesn't mean I'm better or worse than you. I would argue better. But I'm the type of sports fan that likes games. I like to watch games. I like to talk about games. I like to talk about trades and free agency. I like to talk about the fun stuff with sports. The things that make me excited and make me feel like a little boy when I watch sports. That make me feel like a kid. That makes sports great. And it doesn't mean that people shouldn't be interested in Kyle Shanahan and the police officers in the Bay Area. You can be. That's great. Fine. Go for it. Or you can't be interested in Kawhi Leonard getting paid under the table and maybe the Clippers are circumventing the cap. Whatever. Also, they never won anything. Who cares? I get it. You can be interested in that. You can consume content about it. And that content can be great. I just don't care. What I want to know is Kawhi Leonard playing for the Raptors this year? Seems like a pretty big deal, right? For a Raptors team that pushed the Cavs to 7 in the first round, despite Emmanuel Quickley not being healthy for that series. Pretty good performance by Toronto, and a good season by the Raptors. Scotty Barnes looks like he's made the leap. And then you add Kawhi Leonard? Now, I don't know if the Raptors are good enough to win the East with Kawhi. I don't think they are. I'd have them, what, like, when we did the trust rankings, they were 5th or 6th for me earlier this week. Definitely a playoff team in the East. You don't want to play a Kawhi Leonard-led team in the playoffs, assuming he's healthy. And for the Clippers, like, they're about to embark on a rebuild here. And this whole thing's getting held up, potentially, because the NBA can't figure out what the hell it's doing here. And Pablo Vittori released a new episode last night when he's talking. I didn't listen to it. I'm just, from what I read, that Kawhi, basically, there was another, like, I'll call it scheme, for lack of a better word. I might not be using the right word. But Kawhi, like, they could have been getting funneled money from somewhere else. Like, okay, fine. Like, I'm sure it happened, or it didn't. I don't care. Just like NBA, can we figure this out? Like, some of us love thinking about what's to come. Some of us love sports. Some of us love projecting what the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference is going to look like next year in the NBA. And we're not going to be able to do that in full and in totality until we know if this trade goes through. It's July 30th. We don't know if Kawhi's going to be on the Raptors yet. Like, the season starts in a couple months. We haven't figured that it might stretch into January. Here's what I want. Finality. Like, make a decision. Is he going back to the Clippers and getting suspended, or is he going to Toronto? What's happening? Can you make a decision? Like, what are we investigating here? 9/11? Benghazi? Who shot JFK? What happened at Roswell? Like, how hard is this to investigate? Like, did Kawhi Leonard get paid under the table? How hard is this to investigate? We can't get a damn answer to this question. Like, I don't know, as a Knicks fan, if Kawhi Leonard's going to be on one of the Raptors next year. You're a Clippers fan. Are there Clippers fans? Sorry to the Clippers fans out there. You're a Clippers fan, and you don't know if Kawhi's going to be on this team next year with Keaton Wagler and Darius Garland and this new-look Clippers team? You don't know that? It's not frustrating to anybody? Frustrates me. Frustrates me as a sports fan. I love sports. I want to think about it. I want to know, like, what it's going to be. And we don't. Because this clown investigation is still going on. 2027. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, we're going to find out, like, if COVID was actually, like, released from a lab from bats in a wet market in Wuhan before we find out if Kawhi Leonard was getting paid under the table. Do you understand how ridiculous this is? I don't blame Pablo Torre. Like, he's doing the work that he thinks is appropriate and is valuable. This is the NBA's fault. But this is on Adam Silver. Figure it out. Like, we're not trying to solve complex mathematical equations here. We're not trying to cure disease or make sure that AI doesn't kill all of us like Terminator 2 Judgment Day. That's not what it is. Is Kawhi Leonard getting paid illegally or not? And what's the punishment? Figure it out. You bet on this Thursday. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports. This stuff is very aggravating. Is very annoying. All right. Couple NFL topics that we have not yet hit, both emanating from the state of Ohio. Start with the Cincinnati Bengals, and mentioned that yesterday, Wednesday, was kind of an injury-riddled day at NFL training camps. We have not yet talked about the Bengals, and we don't have official word yet, but there is video circulating of this injury, and if you are of the squeamish variety, I would recommend not watching it. It's not like a shattered leg where, like, bone is sticking out, but, you know, based on my untrained eye, and it is untrained, this is a nasty injury for Shamar Stewart, who was last year's first-round pick, defensive line pass rusher out of Texas A&M by the Cincinnati Bengals. My guess is, if he's not out for the year, he's going to be out for a while. And that is not, like, reckless speculation by me. Watch the video and tell me what you think. Like, does not look good. I hope he's fine. My sense is he's not. So Shamar Stewart last year, I don't want to say predictably was not good, but the whole thing with Shamar Stewart and what the Bengals were banking on this year in year two, and it's an easier thing to bank on in year two because there's experience in year one. Shamar Stewart is a very toolsy player, which is a nice way of saying he's a great athlete, but zero production. And the idea was, you know, he will, as he continues to, you know, build out, his body gets built out and filled out, and he learns the intricacies of the NFL game, that he's going to be a monster because he has all the physical tools. Didn't happen last year. Could have happened this year. Now it seems like they won't have the opportunity for that to happen. And it absolutely is a big deal for the Cincinnati Bengals defense and for the Cincinnati Bengals pass rush. Because look, the Bengals defensive line is, like, actually not bad. Jonathan Allen and Dexter Lawrence in the middle of it. Both, and Lawrence is at a different level than Allen, but Allen's been a good player in his NFL career since coming out of Alabama. So Allen and Dexter Lawrence signed Boye Mafe away from the Seattle Seahawks. Boye Mafe is a good pass rusher. You're banking on Cassius Howell, the rookie, giving you something. Miles Murphy feels like he's a bust 2023 second round pick. With Shamar Stewart, if you wanted to make the case for, you know, him hitting an upside potential, right? Double-digit sacks. You could have made that case. I don't know if I would have agreed with you, but he certainly had the ability to make it happen. Now he's not going to have that opportunity. And I think it underscores for me a problem that I have with the Cincinnati Bengals that I talked about earlier this week, where you really have got to tell yourself a story here. What you need is for Dexter Lawrence to not just stuff the run, but you need him to rush the passer in a way that he hasn't done in a little bit for the Giants. And maybe he got paid and change of scenery and he's pissed at the Giants, and maybe that'll unlock him. We'll see. You're going to need Boye Mafe to have his best season rushing the passer. You're going to need Miles Murphy to do something he hasn't done yet in his NFL career. You're going to need Cassius Howell, who's kind of like a version of Shamar Stewart, right, to do something this year rushing the passer. You are going to need both of their young linebackers from last year, Demetrius Knight and Barrett Carter, who were both brutal last year. Not impossible that they could get better, but you need both to get better. And look, I like this secondary. I like Dax Hill. I like DJ Turner, the corners. Jordan Battle is a decent safety. They have Kyle Duggar for depth. Brian Cook, I think, is excellent coming over from the Kansas City Chiefs. I like that a lot. I like it a lot for Cincinnati in the secondary. But if you can't get a pass rush, it's not going to matter. If your linebackers can't tackle at the second level, I don't know if it's going to matter. I think the offense is going to be great. Burrow's going to be awesome. Chase will be awesome. Higgins will be awesome. They're all great players. But I got issues with Zach Taylor. I got issues with Al Golden, the returning defensive coordinator. And I think losing Shamar Stewart takes away an upside piece, potentially, from the Cincinnati Bengals defense. Let's stay in the state of Ohio and go over to Cleveland, where this quarterback competition between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders is not going great. Now, I told you all offseason, I felt like Deshaun Watson should get a crack to start in his final with Todd Monken, because I think Watson's skill set actually fits what Monken wants to do. And I have said this, and I am not the only one, that it felt like the Cleveland Browns were basically rigging the quarterback competition for Deshaun Watson. Mary Kay Cabot, who's covered the Browns forever locally in Cleveland, didn't say that verbatim, but basically, like, they want, I'm paraphrasing, they want Deshaun Watson to be the quarterback. Final year of the maybe the worst contract in the history of the league. Let's see how it goes with Todd Monken. Watson has been so bad already at training camp that there's already speculation that Shedeur might just organically win the job. It's early. Who knows what's going to happen? But that's how bad it's been. The Browns' offense, because of this, with Watson, Sanders, Dillon Gabriel, Gabriel's not going to play. It's not going to be very good this year. It's almost impossible, right? And I think Todd Monken's got a chance to be a good head coach. I certainly love his offensive acumen. So I think it's interesting, given the fact that the Browns almost certainly are going to be bad this year. Almost certainly. You better you bet on this Thursday, Nick Costos and you, Westwood One Sports. I think it's interesting that the Browns, after trading Myles Garrett, which I thought was the right thing to do, and I said it before they traded him, that they have now extended two players in the secondary in the last few days. Corner Denzel Ward, who for the second time in his career is the highest paid defensive back in football, and yesterday safety Grant Delp at 3 years, $48 million. So this is like a Brian Windhorst deal, right? Why would they do that? Why would they extend Denzel Ward instead of trade him, right? If the whole thing is, let's get our quarterback in next year's draft and supercharge it from there. My sense is, and I think this defense has a chance to be pretty good this year with Cleveland. Even with Jim Schwartz gone, Mike Rutenberg's now going to be calling the defense for the Browns. They've got good players, right? Like, Myles Garrett's gone. Jared Verse is there. And Verse is not Myles Garrett, but he's not a slouch. He's a good pass rusher. Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright, a.k.a. Alex Veit. Mason Graham, top five overall pick a couple of years ago. Malik Collins. Carson Schwechinger, the reigning defensive rookie of the year. The secondary's good. And remember, they took Spencer Freneau in the draft to anchor the offensive line. That line still needs work, and that will happen next offseason, I'm sure. Drafted a couple receivers early. Casey Concepcion, round one. Denzel Boston, round two. Quinshon Judkins looks to be at full health here. Plus, they have Dylan Sampson. Harold Fannin's been cleared for work. Fannin. Who's awesome last year as a mid-round rookie tight end. You can make the case, right? I'm going to use, just to use, and this is an extreme example. You know, let's say Baker Mayfield, and even that's not a great example because he was in Cleveland once already, but a Baker Mayfield-esque quarterback. If you put Baker Mayfield on this Browns team, how many games do you think they would win? Like, would they be in the mix for a wild card spot in the AFC? I'm not suggesting they'd go 10-7, but they wouldn't be the laughing stock of the league, wouldn't be in line potentially the first overall pick in next year's NFL draft. So I don't know what the Browns are thinking. I don't talk to Andrew Berry or Todd Monken, although it would be cool. Maybe we could get them on the show. My sense is with the Browns that they are building this roster up right now to drop a rookie quarterback in next year and be ready to go. Be ready to go doesn't have to mean they're winning the AFC North and in the Super Bowl mix. But I think they can be competitive as soon as next year with the right quarterback, because the rest of the infrastructure is pretty good. Offensive line's got to improve, for sure. And obviously, you need to hit on these young receivers, and we don't know if that's the case with Concepcion and Boston. But if they look good, like, they're not that far off. They really aren't. And the pieces are in place on defense that if you have a nice quarterback, good quarterback on the roster next year, a rookie quarterback with promise, absolutely reason for excitement. And I do understand and respect and appreciate that there is a Shedeur Sanders hive out there, people that believe in Shedeur. Mel Kiper Jr., I think the captain of that particular boat. Maybe you're all right. Maybe you are all correct. And Shedeur is going to be good this year. And if that's the case, the Browns will be interesting. I don't think that's the case. And I've lost faith in Deshaun Watson, and Dylan Gabriel's a backup quarterback, and the Browns will probably be bad this season. But the arrow could be pointing up in 2027 and beyond. We'll take a break. On the other side, another disaster for the New York Yankees. What the hell's going on in the Bronx with Aaron Boone and company? And some thoughts on the Big Ten and potential sleepers this year in college football here on a Thursday.
The Hall of Fame game is a week from today. Panthers, Cardinals, and the official start of the NFL preseason. Hear it on the Westwood One Sports app from your home of the NFL. Westwood One Sports.
As a fitness coach, my active psoriatic arthritis can slow me down. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, I'm treating my skin and joint symptoms so I can keep moving. Skyrizi, a prescription-only injection for adults, helps me move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. And for those who have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible. With Skyrizi, there's no daily dosing. It's just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
O'Reilly Auto Parts gets you back to savings. Purchase any 5 quarts of Syntec Full Synthetic Motor Oil and receive a free MicroGuard Select Oil Filter. Limits apply. You can also save 20% on a MicroGuard or MicroGuard Select Engine Air Filter when you purchase this Syntec Oil and Filter Special. Get details at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Andy Ortiz. When I lost my mom, she was only 46, and I lost my dad to cancer. It was the worst pain I ever felt. It made me think, what will happen with the people I love when my time is up? That's why I have life insurance. Ethos makes it easy. You sort online, take about 10 minutes, and you can get up to $3 million in coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Baseball is back.